The evening was cold, and as dull as ever for the German sentries on the slopes outside the city of Cassino, in central Italy. But their boredom was suddenly broken by a nightmarish scene. Without warning, the mountainside was filled with roaring figures storming forward. Higher up, dazed defenders frantically tried to prepare for battle. But it was too late. On the night of 12th of January 1944, Moroccan colonial soldiers from the French army quickly overran the German outposts. The death-defying North African troops were in their element among the peaks. "The Moroccan loves the night and the mountains," wrote a proud colonel, Felix Lapera. Later, Lapera, who led one of the Moroccan regiments, continued, "Rocks, thickets, and sheer crevasses, all observed in the treacherous darkness, are his best allies, and over 1,000 years his eyes have become accustomed to not losing their way in the gloom. He knows when to creep forward and when to wait." The Moroccan division was part of the Allied forces, which were making their way north through Italy. The Germans had established several lines of defense, but to reach them, the Allies first had to fight their way through the Apennine Mountains, which divided the Italian peninsula lengthwise. Soldiers fought non-stop for 5 days. Algerian soldiers also fought alongside the Moroccans, and despite the hostile landscape, they advanced rapidly. France's North African soldiers proved why they'd gained a reputation for being among the world's best assault troops. Soon after, the Germans deployed their own specialists, paratroopers trained to fight in difficult terrain. The advance grew more arduous, and the Moroccans and Algerians had to fight with hand grenades and bayonets to capture every peak. Meanwhile, commanders on both sides struggled to get an overview of the maelstrom on the cliffs and in the gorges. It was no longer even a question of small unit combat, but rather of one man against another in a terrain in which one could spend hours on end without having any clear idea of what was happening, only 10 yards from the forward positions, read a report from the Moroccan division. The battle continued after dawn, and in the following days, the North Africans fought hard to move forward. Finally, on the fifth day, all the designated targets had been captured, and the weary soldiers got a well-deserved rest. Despite their efforts, the offensive had only advanced the front by 5 kilometers, and the Allies had only managed to reach the German defensive position, the Gustav Line. The slow progress was nothing new in the protracted Italian campaign. Ever since September 1943, when troops from the United States, British Empire, and French colonies had landed in southern Italy, the Allies had been slowly moving north. The Germans had blown up all the bridges over gorges in the mountains and destroyed the crossings over the gushing rivers of the lowlands. The narrow roads were blocked by mines, and from the ridges, hidden guns, mortars, and machine guns caused constant losses. Field Marshal Albert Kesselring had promised Hitler that he could defend Rome until the summer of 1944, so Kesselring prepared the Gustav Line, a belt of positions from coast to coast, to force the enemy's offensive to grind to a halt. The location of the Gustav Line had been chosen with care, because almost the entire width of Italy was covered in mountains at that point. By the Adriatic Sea to the east, there was only a narrow strip of coastal plain, and to the west, the Arunzi Mountains rose from the sea. Between them and the mighty Apennines lay the Liri Valley, the only place where Allied tanks could advance. First, however, they had to cross the Rapido River, and every meter of it was watched from the peaks behind the city of Cassino. From here, the Germans could also direct deadly gunfire at the only usable road to the north. Supreme Allied Commander Harold Alexander was aware that the road which leads to Rome is long and bristles with thorns, as he wrote. So instead of breaking through the Gustav Line, Alexander laid out an ambitious plan that would make an attack on the Germans' natural fortress unnecessary. By landing on the coast behind the enemy, he'd give the Germans on the Gustav